This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
It can never be a case that if someone wants to be a champion, you have to put a cocktail of potentially dangerous substances into your body.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. You can WhatsApp us, folks, 087-9180-180. The Saturday panel on Off the Ball this week in partnership with the Road Safety Authority, reminding us all to look out for everyone using the roads this bank holiday weekend. Whether you're driving, cycling, scooting or walking, a little extra care goes a long way. See rsa.ie for more. Our theme for this week's panel, a topic that comes up every so often. We figured we wanted to shine a light on the area of pregnancy and motherhood and its relationship with sport. We'd love to be guided by you, the listener, as well. WhatsApp us, folks, if you would like to, 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180. If you have any questions or comments on exercising before, during and after pregnancy, or even just to tell us your own story. Now, obviously, I'm male. I'm here to listen and learn and discover your stories, because there'll be things you say, the panel here, which are going to be really helpful to active women when it comes to pregnancy and training, and also useful to their partners. So who do we have in studio? We have Lynn Cantwell, the former Irish rugby star, record caps holder, also has been chair of the Sport Ireland Women in Sport Steering Group and is an Irish rugby now head of women's strategy at the RFU. Siobhan McGrath, former Dublin senior footballer and mother, and Fiona Opperman, sports therapist with the Dublin Sports Clinic, who's got a special interest in pre- and postnatal training and is an advocate for the important role of exercise in both a healthy pregnancy and postnatal recovery. Lynn, Siobhan and Fiona, how are we all doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having us on.
So how many children do you all have? So we might just get into just your own story of pregnancy and sports. And Lynn, you got, was it three children?
Three kids, yeah.
What are their names?
Scarlett, Arlo and Nio, and they're 8, 5 and 2.
Very good. And yourself, Fiona?
Two boys, Christian, who is 6 and Matthew is 3.
And yourself, Siobhan?
Just one little girl, Maeve, and she is 7 months.
How did you find it all? Was pregnancy what you expected?
No. I actually found it not as bad as I thought it would, to be honest. I wasn't very sick or anything like that. And I was very busy with work. So it kind of nearly flew by. And I escaped 2 months of pregnancy because she came 9 weeks early. So
wow.
Amazing.
So the post part was probably the most difficult for me. It was 8 weeks. We had 8 weeks in NICU. But she was fine. No major complications. Just, you know, she just needed a little bit of help.
And how did you find it, Fiona?
Yeah, same. To be fair, I had two pregnancies that were quite easy in relative terms. And like Siobhan, busy with work and life stuff. And I trained the whole way through both my pregnancies, which I think obviously really helped. And yeah, nothing I think prepares you for that kind of shell shock of actually delivering the baby and what happens to your body. And that initial postpartum period is a really tough time. And it's something that you don't really understand until you go through it. Like, I had been working with pregnant women for a good few years before I got pregnant myself. And actually understanding what happens when you deliver a baby and how difficult it is afterwards was, you know, I suppose an eye-opening experience for me when I went through it myself versus what I had been doing, you know, before that, working with pregnant women. Yeah.
What's the difficult part?
The difficult part? Yeah. I think, and I don't know if the girls will back me up on this, but I think, you know, for being an athlete for so long, you're used to your body kind of working perfectly and being able to do everything and being strong and being fit and healthy. And I suppose one of the toughest parts for me was I just couldn't believe how weak I was 2, 3, 4 weeks postpartum versus how strong I was at 40 weeks pregnant, you know. Yeah. And just realizing how much of a kind of, you know, without trying to make it sound too bad, a traumatic injury actually delivering a baby is, whether you do it, you know, normally or whether you end up having a C-section, it's the same. There's an awful lot of work that needs to be done to the great rebuild, we call it, in work when you're kind of trying to put yourself back together after having a baby. And you're also trying to do that with very little sleep and having to mind this tiny little human who's relying on you 24/7 for everything. So, yeah.
How do you find it, Lynn, from the, say, the first to the third?
Yeah, look, I think we had three and I had two miscarriages. We had two miscarriages in between those. So it's just such a, if we look at the stretch, there's kind of 8 to 2 and there's 6 years in between those. I think in general, like the girls, generally probably carried well enough and exercised through. But just life was busier as you have two and then three, and therefore you kind of don't prioritise exercise through it. I think all of that, you know, breastfeeding afterwards is a factor of how you juggle it all. And I think the effect kind of physiologically, or the impact that physiologically has on your body and your ability to exercise and have your own time to exercise and the gains that you make from exercise because you're breastfeeding, I think there's just, it's just so all encompassing. So I think, like we were speaking earlier outside about, you know, we've probably got a positive relationship with exercise, and even with us, it's still hard to kind of prioritize the time or know what to do. And we all know pregnancies pre and post can be exceptionally complicated in all the various forms that they show up. And therefore, having expertise to be able to guide you through it kind of pre and then post is just really important. And I think we all acknowledge the guidance pre, i.e. the midwife care pre, is just really well set up to support women through their pregnancies, and probably it's the post gap whereby women are just let off into the world to say, okay, great, you know, off you go now. One, parent, and then two, exercise and get your body back to normal. It's just like, ah, there's just this big gap. And thankfully, you know, there's people like Fiona and that type of expertise that are out there now. But I just don't think mams are very aware of that, whether you're sporty or non-sporty. And it would be incredible if that changed. From a sporty point of view, I know that we're going to zoom into that a little bit more. But, you know, lots of my friends are non-sporty and I think they share similar gaps in their knowledge as to how do they get their bodies back to normal. And I think we all know, or all of our mams and grandmams and friends have so many crazy things going on with their body just because of this whole process. And they're just left to do nothing, really, you know. And, you know, there's lots of injuries, I suppose, or things that will happen to your body through the whole process that if not addressed through good care, they just stay there for the rest of your life, you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be the way. So I think that's the kind of prompt to try and...
I think it needs to start in the hospitals, though, when you're in there. I think they need to guide women to say, this is a major priority. You have to prioritise this for yourself. It's for you. It's for your family. It's for your kids. It's for everything. It's, you make a full recovery, you are the best, you know, of you that you can be for your family. And I just think it doesn't even need to be a, we have it here, we have the resources here. It needs to be, here is how you get it. These are the people who are providing it. Like, only for, I was in the sporting world and I knew Fiona, I wouldn't have a clue where to go. I knew I had to do something. I knew I was weak. I was delayed in getting started. But only for I knew Fiona and I knew she did it, I actually wouldn't have had a clue where to go. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that, like, both the girls have touched on. We have really good maternity cover in this country, you know, and whether you're a public patient or a private patient, you're really well looked after the whole way through pregnancy with the GP visits and everything that, you know, is provided. And then you have your baby and they're literally like, on you go now, see it. And I remember after I had Christian and, you know, I was like, oh my God, I am mangled. And I was leaving the hospital and I said to the to one of the nurses or the midwives, and sorry, this is no, just like, they are absolutely amazing what they do in the hospitals. And I said, look, can I get a referral to a postnatal physio because I need to go and see somebody? And she was like, oh no, you're grand. You'll be fine. On you go. You know, that kind of way. Now, that was obviously 6 years ago, and thankfully things have changed a lot now, and they're now encouraging women, especially, you know, who with C-sections and who have kind of complicated births, right, you definitely need to go and see somebody. But I do think the message is still not clear out there that engaging in a rehab process after you have a baby is so important. And like Siobhan said, it's not just, you know, for a part of your own recovery, but it makes you better able to deal with having a new baby and managing all the things that have changed in your life. You know, if you are feeling better in yourself and you're not in pain and you're sleeping a little bit better and all that, it does make a huge difference. And, you know, there is loads of people out there like who are, you know, doing postnatal women's health physio, postnatal physio, and postpartum recovery and strength and conditioning. You know, so there is loads of people out there who can help. So, you know, for anybody, and I think even like Siobhan said, I mean, she trained the whole way through her pregnancies. She was a high performance athlete. She knew, okay, I need to do something. Like any injury, right? You've got to rehab it to get back, to get strong, to get functional, to get your movement back. And even she was going, what do I do here? You know, and thankfully me and Siobhan had worked together before with the Dublin Ladies. So she texted me and she was like, it was like one of those SOS texts. Help, I've got 9 weeks to club championship.
It's with Thomas Davis, Siobhan.
With Thomas Davis, yeah.
How did that go then?
We got to the semi-final. We won't talk about the semi-final. we got to the semi-final. And I was so happy to get back playing. Probably very different mindset for me going back. It is different when you go back. You kind of probably put a little less pressure on yourself. You kind of going back to try and enjoy it a little bit more, whereas previously it was probably like the come on driver of it all. I really, really enjoyed getting back and just having that like basis with Fiona, working with her, it's just an easier transition to try and go back into the training. But also it wasn't just like what she did with us, but it was also being able to ask her, guys, how much training should I do? What way should I approach this? And then having that guidance as well was really, you know, good for me to go back, because, you know, you're kind of quick to go, oh, it's grand, I'll just do the whole session. Yeah, no, it's grand, I'll keep going. No problem, yeah, leave me on, that kind of thing. But knowing that you just have to build it up. But like that, I needed the guidance on that.
I think the other thing as well is, which is something that we should probably highlight, is, and this is where a lot of women get stuck, and Siobhan, you too, and maybe Lynn as well, is that after you have your baby, most people will go to their doctor for a 6-week checkup. And at the 6-week checkup, they're told, yeah, everything's great, on you go. You can go back. And a lot of the time, the message comes out, and I don't think the GPs mean this, but the message is, okay, you can go back to what you were doing before. And now you have someone who's delivered a baby, whether it's C-section or whether it's a vaginal delivery, and you're telling them, right, you can go back and do what you've done before, but they haven't done any kind of rehab to help that process along. You know, so it's like any injury. If you tore all the ligaments in your ankle and you left it for 6 weeks or more and did nothing and then tried to go back and run on it, you'd have a weak, unfunctional ankle and you would not be able to run. So it's the same thing if you bring it back to postnatal rehab. We have to, you know, address the issues and the weaknesses that are there and allow the tissue to heal and allow the tissue to get strong and allow the tissue to get functional and encourage that. And there's so much that can be done in that first 6 weeks, like you would if you had surgery or if you had, you know, a bad injury from playing sport. You would engage in the rehab process straight away. You wouldn't wait, you know, and we're missing that critical timeline. And this becomes obviously even more important if you're dealing with girls who are trying to get back to play sport at a decent and at a high level.
Yeah.
The outcomes are so much better if you engage in the rehab process straight away.
Did you have in your children after you retired, because you were an elite rugby player, so I mean, how did you still train as a fit person during your pregnancies? How did that work?
Yeah, I did. And I think there's actually a really important point here. And this, you know, I'm in leadership now within sport.
Yes.
And I think therefore a part of that, when we talked about the female athlete and the female athlete environment, I think it's important that we're inputting aspects within the female environment that enable them to understand their bodies better. And I'll come back to what I mean by that in a second. And what I mean by that is females who understand the kind of the life cycle of their body as an athlete is really important to understand that, because, you know, I retired at 33 and I did have my kids afterwards. But I think it's only now I'm 44 and I look back on that. And for example, I was in South Africa for the last 5 years, and one of our captains, she was an exceptional athlete, and she retired in this World Cup just gone, and she was 39. And I think we're more aware now of the life cycle of the female body and the reproductive system, and we're enabling athletes to train for longer and compete for longer, which is absolutely brilliant. And what we need to ensure that the policies that we have in place enable athletes to get pregnant, be supported through it, have the rehab to come back. And we know there's so many more examples of athletes can compete or can have a baby, come back, and there's just so much more of a door open for that. Absolutely. But I also think we need, as a system, to educate our athletes around the life cycle of the female body. And if you're physically capable still of performing at 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, and you haven't been made aware of family planning, if you want to have a baby and if you don't, and your options, for example, there's a lot more awareness in companies around whether or not you can freeze eggs or da 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 da. And I suppose the point of saying that is, I think it's just really important for us to be aware of all of the things that we need to be aware of as female athletes, at the same time as choosing to compete for however long our body can. And I think we're having this mature conversation because we need to have all the information, and then you make choices. Isn't that the principle that we always want to apply to man and woman? But for me, yeah, I had all my kids afterwards. It wasn't on my radar before, just not more, because it just, I was so focused on what I was doing and I loved it, and I just wasn't thinking about family planning at all. But the relationship I had with exercise in general was helpful. When I did start having my family, it meant that I was kind of training throughout. And just to be clear for anybody listening, it's really important that what we're not saying here is, you know, if you're a woman and if you're pregnant, whether you're sporty or not sporty, you may not want to exercise because you feel sick or you haven't got access to it, or you're juggling two other kids or somebody at home or all of those different things. But what we are saying is that there are absolutely safe ways of exercising, but the guidance of how far you push and what you push and what do you do at the different phases in your pregnancy are really, really important. I think at the start, my first pregnancy, like, I ran up until I was 33 weeks. I was doing weight training, all fine. My second one, a little bit less because I was busier at home. And my third one, not so much. I swam an awful lot more just because I was busy. I was probably, my body was just a little bit kind of crooked by all of the other ones, and I didn't run as far into that pregnancy, probably stopped at about 25 weeks or something like that, you know. And I think it just changes. But to Fiona's point, I think what was really helpful is to try and maintain just some form of exercise, some form of weights in particular. My body is very muscly. I'm just muscly by nature, and when I find when I don't exercise, and in particular breastfeeding afterwards and going through pregnancy and not being able to exercise, I found my muscles wasted away really, really quickly, and I just hurt, like it was just sore. So I think knowing to just keep on doing my weights exercise is true. And it was only little. I wasn't pushing, I wasn't gaining. It was just getting in there, moving. And it just meant that afterwards, when I couldn't do stuff, I still had some muscle bulk on my legs to be able to carry the baby and walk and do all those things. I still had muscle bulk in my arms, so that when you're breastfeeding, you just don't get all injured because of just the sedentary poses and positions that you're having, and you're, suppose you're just a little bit more kind of physically capable to withstand what's thrown at you in those kind of primal couple of months.
I think that's not advised from a exercise point of view during a pregnancy.
I think it's probably important to highlight, and this touches a little bit on what Lynn was saying, is you know, we've had a massive shift in kind of thoughts and attitudes towards exercise and during pregnancy in the last kind of 20 plus years. And I know certainly when I started working with pregnant women, it was very much cautious approach. You know, don't let the heart rate go up over 120 to 140 beats per minute. No lifting heavy weights. Don't lift anything over your head. And it was very much like downplaying. And for me, I always was like, okay, these women need to live normal lives. And a lot of the kind of more training in pregnancy was kind of nearly frowned upon. People were kind of going, oh God, that's not safe. You're putting your baby at risk. You know, you need to take it easy and be careful. And a lot of that came back to the early evidence or the early kind of theory that, you know, there's already a lot of stress on the woman's heart with extra blood volume during pregnancy. And then you're exercising, you're pushing that further, and there's a risk to both yourself and the baby, which we now know is not true at all, which is great. And you know, over those years, I started to really see that exercise and pregnancy could coexist together. contrary to what we were kind of being told. And there was a whole cohort of women who were exercising as athletes and as female sports players because they were having their babies while they were still playing. But they were kind of doing this behind closed doors with physios and with support from people who knew, but it was very much like hush-hush. And I remember being over in Loughborough training. I mean, it's probably got to be close to 20 years ago now. And Yana Pittman, who was an Australian 400-metre hurdler, she was on the track doing a session. And she was having her baby in between two major championships. So I can't remember, world championships, and then there was an Olympics coming up, or vice versa. So she was training for as long as she possibly could. She was going to have her baby deliver it and then be back for the next championship, if that makes sense. And I remember watching her, and she was probably 5 or 6 months pregnant, and she was doing like a really hefty, I'd say 6x300 meters on the track, and she was keeping up with the lads. And she, you know, there was no, and I was kind of going, hang on a second, like, you can definitely perform to a really high level. I'm not trying to suggest out there to everybody that's what you should be doing, but it is possible, because physiologically, as women, our bodies can deal with pregnancy and deal with everything else that we need to do in our daily lives. Otherwise, the human race would be a bit screwed, right, if we couldn't. And the same goes for sport. You know, and I think it's important to remember, when you are pregnant, and the mindset you kind of need to have is that pregnancy is a physiological process. It's not a medical condition. So if you put yourself in the medical box for 9 months, that's a long 9 months where you're really going to be thinking about all the things that could possibly go wrong, as opposed to it being a physiological state. Okay, my body can actually do this, and I'm going to really try and support it by getting myself as healthy and as fit as I can. You know, think about it like, if you had to run a marathon in 9 months, right? And no matter what happened during this 9 months, you were going to have to run that marathon as hard as you could at the end. You wouldn't allow yourself to decondition and to get weaker and weaker and not do any training. So at the time, the time came when you had to run the marathon, that you were at your weakest and you were sore and you were immobile and you were, you know, not functional. Like it wouldn't happen. And even that's for anybody, even, you know, if non-sports people. So I think, you know, supporting pregnancy with exercise is a really, really important thing to do. And, you know, to get the message out there to women that, look, you can actually have a healthy and a good pregnancy and be mobile and be strong and be functional right to the very end, and reduce an awful lot of the kind of pain and issues that can crop up during pregnancy just by exercise.
Okay, we got to take a break for news. We're going to bring you part two of the Saturday panel on pregnancy and motherhood when it comes to sport with Lynn Cantwell, Siobhan McGrath and Fiona Opperman after 2 o'clock on Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, any questions or comments for the panel, you can WhatsApp us 087-9180-180. Stay with us. We're back after this.
This bank holiday weekend, Off the Ball has teamed up with the Road Safety Authority to remind us all to look out for everyone using the roads. See rsa.ie for more.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. Just some sports scores to bring you before we get back into the conversation. The Lions 27, Ulster 19 in the rugby, the URC, and in the championship in England in football, Coventry 3, Watford 1, Ipswich 0, West Brom 0, and Portsmouth 0, Stoke City 1. The Saturday panel and Off the Ball this week, in partnership with the Road Safety Authority, reminding us to look out for everyone using the roads this bank holiday weekend. Whether you're driving, cycling, scooting, or walking, a little extra care goes a long way. See rsa.ie for more. We're continuing our conversation around the theme of pregnancy and motherhood and sport. Our guests this week are Lynn Cantwell, the former Irish rugby star, who has also been chair of the Sport of Ireland Women and Sport Steering Group and is Irish Rugby's head of women's strategy. Siobhan McGrath, former Dublin senior footballer, All-Ireland winner and mother. And Fiona Opperman, sports therapist from the Dublin Sports Clinic, who has a special interest in pre- and postnatal training as an advocate for the important role of exercise in both a healthy pregnancy and postnatal recovery. As I said at the start of the programme, obviously I am male. I'm here to listen and learn and discover your stories and the things you'll say that will be definitely insightful to active women when it comes to pregnancy and training, and also useful to their partners. And I kind of picked up on something you said, Lynn, at the start of the program, and you posted something about this as well, kind of a sensitive topic for some, brave and hugely important kind of post on social media a couple of years ago. Maybe if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the start, we've got three healthy kids at home. We had two miscarriages in that time, and between the first and the second, and the second and the third. And I think as a young mum and young parents, again, you know, I think I remember, like, my mum had a miscarriage, and I think she had an ectopic pregnancy, and I think we would have grown up kind of knowing those words. You know, I don't think you know an awful lot about it, and it's probably not spoken about quite a lot. So when you experience it the first time, it's just so scary because you've had one baby, or sometimes you might have a miscarriage before that baby. You're scared, can you? What's going on? And all of the thoughts and anxieties that you have around it. To our point and what we're talking about today, you know, physiologically, your body is still pregnant, and then you lose the baby at whatever phase that you do lose the baby. And, you know, both of ours were before 3 months, and therefore it was defined as a miscarriage. Whereas you, if you lose babies after that, and a couple of my friends have had, you know, it's obviously a very traumatic experience physiologically, what's going on in your body through that time. It's still a pregnancy, and therefore your body is changing through that time. And when you lose it, there's processes that you have to go through to fully to terminate the process. And then your body has to recover afterwards. You know, so you're still recovering from being pregnant, and that can take 3, 6, 9 months, depending as well. So, look, it's a scary process. It's a traumatic process. And like anything that's scary and traumatic, the more we know about it and the more we can talk about it and process it and mourn it, I think is really important. So I'm a fan of being able to raise awareness to those topics and normalize it, because I think 1 in 4 pregnancies end up in a miscarriage or various things of that. And, you know, that's a really, really common figure. And no doubt there's thousands and thousands of women in the country right now that have obviously experienced that, and in our mams and grandmams' generations. And I think the more we're able to be aware of it, definitely understand and have the knowledge around it and talk about it, it just helps us process it, because it's a normal part of this whole journey.
Yeah,
Fiona.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think if I think about, you know, my group of friends, the women that I've worked with, all of that, I think nearly every single one of us has had a miscarriage or knows someone who's had a miscarriage at some point. And, you know, it is a kind of, I don't say a normal thing, but it does happen a lot more, I think, than people talk about. And it is important, like Lynn was saying, to recognise that, you know, you are at some stage partway through a pregnancy, and then there's a loss, and you have to go through the process of dealing with that physically and mentally, and getting yourself back. And, you know, I suppose I had a miscarriage before I had my first baby as well. And you do question, you're like, oh, did I do something wrong? I know I was training really heavily at the time. I wasn't competing, but I was still, you know, doing an awful lot of training athletics-wise. And you kind of think, God, did I do something wrong? But you have to kind of acknowledge, especially in the early, if it's up to kind of 12-week period, that, you know, there's an awful lot that happens between the time that you pee on the stick and you get a positive pregnancy test up to the point where the baby is actually implanted and there's a heartbeat and there's growing. And sometimes, you know, nature is cruel to be kind, and your body recognises there's something just wasn't wrong or wasn't right, and you lose that pregnancy. And it, you know, I think that really scares women, and I think it really scares women as well into, you know, being super, super cautious with what they're doing during that first 12-week period, which is right, but also recognising that if you're someone who is exercising regularly, or like we would do, we would lean into exercise as a management tool for when we're feeling bad or that kind of thing, that it really does help the process. And mentally, I think we need to, you know, really kind of, I suppose, acknowledge and to, you know, get the message out there to women that for, you know, when you're going through a trauma like that, or postnatal depression, or any of those kind of issues that can arise with pregnancy and miscarriage, and even just through a normal pregnancy, a lot of women will suffer from postnatal depression afterwards, that exercise is the first line of defense, because it does completely change your brain chemistry, and it can be a really important management tool in helping you overcome and to work through those processes. So, you know, I would say to girls out there, don't be afraid to lean into exercise. And I'm not talking about, you know, doing anything mad, but even getting out for walks, meeting your friends, chatting, and it does help your body to recover. The similar way, and we would do it, you know, in postpartum period, is that movement is a really, really important tool to stimulate and initiate our body's recovery process. And your body deals with things an awful lot better if it is getting a positive exercise stimulus during all these periods, you know. But like Lynn said, you know, I think Talking about it is really, really important, and getting the message out there that women, you know, it is, it happens an awful lot more probably than does happen. And whether you're an athlete or you're not an athlete, it's a normal process for a woman, unfortunately, to go through that kind of, you know.
Yeah, that very painful, obviously, at times. And from Mascara Support in Ireland, there are some helplines, folks, and emails you can use as a resource. The Miscarriage Association of Ireland can be reached at 01873 5702, or you can email info@miscarriage.ie. You can also contact the Samaritans, 116 123. Lynn and Fiona have been speaking about you know, the importance of talking and normalising conversations, even like as a separate issue. But, you know, breastfeeding, you had what the viral that we had with our interview that we did with Aisling O'Reilly, did the interview with Louise Galvin, just come back 9 weeks after giving birth to Flory in there at Croke Park, had just played, I think it was a semi-final for Kerry, and breastfeeding her son, and you've just come back yourself to a Gaelic football career at club level. So maybe normalising some of the conversations around that it's just seen as a regular thing.
Yeah, so I suppose myself, I would have been mixing between expressing and breastfeeding, and yeah, like it is, to be honest with you, I actually found it a really, really nice experience, the breastfeeding part. Expressing part, I hated. And I ended up having to do more of that. But yeah, like I think it's, like, it's so normal. Women, I think it's very, you know, it's accepted around Ireland. I don't think any people have a problem, really. You know, people go out in public, they're having their lunch, they're having their breakfast, they're doing whatever they want to do. And It's so normal to just breastfeed there, wherever you are, wherever your baby needs it. They need feeding, you provide. I didn't experience having to actually, on the side of the pitch, having to do it, but like, I know Macker went back, so another Niamh McFoy, former
Macker,
yeah. So another former Dublin player, she is in the gym with us at the minute, and she was later than me trying to get back in. And yeah, like we were playing against her in a championship round 3, and yeah, little Rose was on the sideline, and she had to, you know, Rose was calling, so she had to feed. But yeah, it's a normal process. It's you know, your baby needs what you need you to do what you need to do, and that's just the way it is.
We talking about the support for athletes as well, Lynn, and like the way maybe Alison Felix, an Olympic gold medal winner, was treated by Nike wasn't very good, and she called them out a few years ago for their attitude towards maternity policy. In 2019, what, Sport Ireland got a carding system in for athletes to kind of, I suppose, support women having children, and even the time before and the time afterwards. So you were involved in that?
Yeah. So in 2019, we bought in the maternity policy for carded athletes. So, as you said, Niamh O'Sullivan was integral in that, and Nora Stapleton, looking around the world and seeing what the maternity policies were, because it's still relatively new. You know, Australia, New Zealand have some really good gold standard examples of it, and often a maternity policy can be scaled up or down. You know, one is basic knowledge, and two, the scaled up version of it is being able to, when you have had your baby, you're able to come back. And there's one example of Kayla McAllister. She's a Blackfern New Zealand rugby player who came back after 6 months, and she was physically capable of playing in Dubai Sevens, you know, and therefore they paid for her partner to come with her because she was still breastfeeding. And you know, so that's an example of a really scaled up maternity policy. And then, you know, what does that need to look like per sport? So we brought that in, which was really great. The hope was that each NGB within Ireland, because remember that was just the carded athletes at that time, and the hope was that each NGB within Ireland would develop their own maternity policy, similar guidelines, but again, scale up or scale down. Sport Ireland are currently reviewing that maternity policy, and we know so much more now 5 years later, which is great, to include more things around IVF, surrogacy, you know, the different complexities that can happen through pregnancy around, you know, losing babies or stillbirths or multiple pregnancies post, after, all of these. There's a huge range of categories that we want to just acknowledge when you're designing a maternity policy / parental policy. And I think there's a great body of work that's been done with Sport Ireland through an external consultancy of it. And I think the value of Ireland's sport in Ireland being a small country is that we need to share that knowledge, so each NGB has that, and then their budget is going to determine what they can and can't do. But I think if we have that knowledge, I think it's really, really important.
What about motherhood itself? So, I mean, what are the things that have surprised you and maybe not surprised you. So, Siobhan, like, you know, things like sleep, advice, every stage of learning process, you know, from newborn to toddler to maybe starting school in the future to playing sports and to be wearing the Dubs jersey, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, well, when I did take her into Crow Park that day, I did say, look, this is the first of many times you're going to wear this jersey, okay? No, I think, obviously, I'm at that new, like, early stage at the minute. Honestly, I'm loving the slow pace of life, to be honest with you. It gives you a completely new perspective of what's really important. And I suppose being on maternity leave currently, it is probably, allowing me to get out, do my rehab, get to do the things. I go back, play football, all that stuff as well. But it also is your support system that's around you. And if you have a good support system, it's enabling you to do what you need to do, which is really important. So, you know, my partner was, very obliging. He would, and we both play. So that's the hard part as well. So you're trying to juggle being like, not being like, well, it's all about me. I need to do it. both having to be able to go to training on maybe sometimes the same nights. And having, obviously, both of our mothers are very, very, and my dad as well, very, very helpful in that, like, they'll come, sit with mind Maeve. And there's sometimes, like, I remained coaching. I coach our minor team. And, like, sometimes it would be a case of I'm gone up coaching, Anto's following suit an hour later. We're doing a little drop-off in the club. I'm still training. Somebody in the club just comes over. Yeah, that's grand. I'll mind her for another 15 minutes while you finish up there. So it's kind of like, and even with nights that, like, maybe I would have been training with the girls and Maeve needed to just come up on sideline for a minute, like, or two, somebody was always there to step in, and that's what I mean about your support system. It's your partner, it's your family, but it's also the club you're surrounding. And then what a really, really good thing, especially around the postnatal actual, classes, dedicated classes, I would think most of them. So in Fiona's class, we all bring our babies like to little play, have a little bond together. We all go together, our workout in, like, that specific work that's needed. And I believe probably most of them are similar. It's bring your baby to workout. And Fiona's great sometimes. If Maeve's crying, she'll just pick her up and take her away.
The most important thing is that the girls get their session done, right? Yeah. So whatever needs to be done with the babies to allow them to. But I think a really important point, Siobhan, touched on there, is that, your little support network is really, really important. And don't be afraid to ask for the time to go and do your training or to get out. And a message, I suppose, to the partners out there. It's not just the girls in this. To the partners out there, to encourage, if your wife or if your girlfriend is pregnant at the time, to encourage her to get out and move, and to use exercise as an important tool for a healthy pregnancy.
You're at the Dublin Sports Clinic, Fiona, but you're a 200 and 400 metre sprinter.
Yeah, yeah.
You work a lot with teams and individuals around injuries. So, I mean, on just in general basis, have you found the motherhood journey?
Yeah, good, like, great, to be fair. Similar enough to
what surprised you?
To Siobhan. What surprised me is the amount of time I had that I did nothing with before I had the babies, right? And now I'm like, what did I do all day before this? But, look, we were all athletes. We were filling that time with training and nutrition and all the things that we needed to do to support ourselves in that period. No, look, it's been a great journey so far. It's hard. It's really tough. It is really tough. And I know there's going to be a lot of girls out there who are listening to us who are going, well, it's great for them, but, like, I just don't have the time to get out and train, or I don't have the time to do this. It is hard. And it is hard to train when you're pregnant, and it is hard to train during the postpartum period. But the payback that you're going to get in terms of the investment in your health and in your baby's health while you're pregnant. And then also a really, really important thing is, and it's like Siobhan was touching on it there, Maeve is already up at football matches with her. Our kids model us from a very, very young age, and even from tiny babies, seeing their moms exercising and seeing their dads exercising puts exercise as a totally normal thing to do in their little heads from a very early age. And that has an absolute knock-on effect for as, they're growing up. And I mean, our kids are lucky, right? They're surrounded by athletes all the time. My two boys think everyone plays for Dublin. Everyone is going to play rugby for Ireland, and they're definitely going to be running in the Olympics. They tell us this all the time, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of hard work to be done, but isn't that amazing that they don't see barriers to this? They see exercise as a normal thing. you know, and they're really lucky to be surrounded by motivated people. And don't be afraid to bring your kids places. Don't be afraid to bring them to matches. Don't be afraid to bring them out to watch, you know, relatives playing or friends, or like, you know, you don't realize the impact this has on them. That exposure to sport from a really early age is so important, and to normalize training as a thing that we do in our lives every day, you know, and it really helped them along as they're growing up too.
What about you, Lynn? Have you found the excitement of being a mother?
Yeah, look, I love it. It is busy. It's mad busy, but the kids are great, and I'd like to obviously wreck your head sometimes, but yeah, you know, largely absolutely love it. They're completely precious, and you know, based on what we've talked through, when you go through what you go through, you're just so they're precious little things. One thing I will say, when we're talking about kids and their exposure to exercise, look, yes, the kids play games and football and all of those things, and you want to have a good time there, and you know, we're looking at it from a HP lens, and we know what it takes for athletes to be the best they can be. I think when you apply that, well, I certainly don't apply that to my kids. I think, yes, I want them to be physically competent, but we want them to have fun and learn how to be physically competent through having fun. So I think when, you know, sometimes they like a sport, sometimes they don't like a sport. And I think the message is they have to have fun, you know, and they'll do that if they have a good environment, they have lots of their friends there, and. So like, our life is probably busy kind of ferrying them around trying to do that. But nah, it is wonderful. But to the girl's point, I think it's one thing I've definitely learned from a South African point of view is it definitely takes a village. And I love that we have a family at home, and my mum and dad are quite active in it as well. And I think the kids benefit a lot from that kind of intergenerational piece. So just the support of partners and family to enable women postpartum to be able to have options and try and physically get themselves back in the feet and outside of that, I think is really important.
Just on a sporting perspective, folks, we're speaking to Lynn Cantwell, and we're also in the conversation, just checking a score here, folks, for the moment. So just check, excuse me there for the moment as I check something that's coming through. Siobhan McGrann, Fiona Opperman with us as well. Lynn, you were in the World Rugby Hall of Fame there. Was it last month, your first ever Irish woman? That was a thrill, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
And well deserved.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think I should have screened my acceptance video. I dropped a few F-bombs, but it was lovely. And it was lovely, like, on our topic of motherhood, it was lovely to be of an age to get something like that, and the kids were over so they could see it and all that. That's really nice.
Was that because it was unexpected? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So at the moment, you're involved in strategy for Irish women in terms of the IRFU and women's rugby. So what is that, to encapsulate it, maybe Lynn, for us?
Yeah, look,
what is the day job?
The head of women's strategy, so its role is, it's sitting at an executive level, which is the kind of higher senior leadership team. And the reason why that's really important in women's sport is that we want senior management to represent the women's game at all levels of the, or at all departments of the sport, in order for it to rise. So that's really important. But its role is across performance, domestic, rugby, commercial and comms, to try and elevate the priority of women's rugby across all of those and try and drive and grow every part of those. So that's from the national teams to the elite domestic structures around the four provinces, the domestic game, trying to drive the kind of fan experience and the amount of people that are supporting Irish women's rugby, and for our kids and our families to be able to go to those events, like I was in Croke Park this year to the All-Ireland Final and the Ladies Camogie Final, where the kids are having a great time and they feel part of it and you're part of that whole community. So, and a huge part of that is around visibility, is how do we make sure we've got more women's sport that's on TV and all the media channels as well, to kind of just promote the normalising of all of that. So,
because we didn't qualify for World Cup, Lynn, it felt we reached a bit of a nadir. There was a letter written to the government and all that, and now you've been in South Africa. Have you come back? Have you seen changes for the I suppose, in a beneficial and positive way since you come back?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think lots of it's driven by leadership and investment. Leadership wanted Kevin Potts as CEO, and that's his ambition and his legacy is for the women's game to really grow and thrive. That's supported by investment, and I think that's what we've seen in the national teams, to be able to go from not qualifying to a World Cup to be able to perform like they did But there's a whole system underneath that that needs to be built in order for it to be sustainable. The women's game is 33 years old, the men's game is 150, so there's a hell of a lot of work to do there, and that's part of my role to work with the leadership to do that.
So you're going to be working with, say, making the provinces maybe professional, the AAL, working with the clubs? Is there anything that, like, if you were to say in 5 years' time, this is the one thing I had one thing I really wanted to achieve more than anything else, and that was this. Would you know what it is now?
I think because I look across four areas when I answer that. I think the goal is for the national 15 sevens teams and the 15s team to have their world ranking, which is fifth, to continue to accelerate that. So that is chomping away towards number one. The professionalising of the four provinces are going on that roadmap to enable more girls across the country to have access to HP facilities and environments so that more can rise and have the opportunity to rise. But I think what's really core in my heart is how can we develop a domestic game that enables little girls to go into it and have a sense of welcome and be part of a team at all age grades and not get to 14 and not having a team at 15 and then drop out, and to be part of something, a sense of belonging of a community that, you know, we know is there in ladies Gaelic football in Camogie. I think there's so much more that can be done there. So I think there's three main things there from a just on-field rugby point of view, and then off-field it's around trying to build out driving revenue sponsors, get people into the Aviva. We're playing in the Aviva next year in May 17th, and what we're going to try and replicate is what we all experienced over in the World Cup across the water, which was really, really special. So lots to do, but definitely committed.
No better woman. In terms of yourself, Siobhan, the Dubs, you won four All-Irelands with them, and you're looking at the Gaelic football, the men's game, being revolutionised by rule changes. Would you like to see rule changes in the ladies' game?
I'd like to see real changes. I know they're discussing that at the minute.
Yes.
GPR pushing that forward.
A more physical game, 2-point scores, 3v3.
Yeah,
all
like
these
I
things.
Do think some of the ones that, you know, the mark, etc., would be good. Like, it'd be amazing to bring in the 2-point game. It's kind of just being like, what will that bring to the game then when we start seeing kind of, you know, people taking shots, maybe they should. I don't know if we're ready for that yet, but I do think maybe one or two of the rules could be brought in. I'm not sure about the 2-point rule myself just yet, but maybe it's something to strive towards. But yeah, maybe mixing it up a little bit. I do think the ladies' game still has a flow to it. Yes, there is times where it gets quite negative, it gets quite defensive, but I do think it has still got a nice, you know, flow. We can see good football, good kick passing, etc. So yeah, maybe one or two of the rules to be brought in, but maybe not the whole shebang.
Hannah Tyrrell and Nicole Owens retired after the win this year. And you, Fiona, know Nicole?
Yeah, so myself and Nicole would have worked together for the last kind of 2+ years. She was unfortunate enough to have 2 ACLs reconstructed. So it was a long, arduous path for her back. You know, over the last 2 years to get back, but she did, and she played incredibly well and got her All-Ireland medal, which was so well deserved, because I think what a lot of people don't see is what actually goes on behind the scenes and what it takes for an athlete to come back from some really serious injuries, the mental and physical dedication and perseverance that goes on. You know, people don't see that behind the scenes. They see, oh, they're out for injury and then they're back. But actually the work it takes in the background from those athletes is just incredible. So it was brilliant and so well deserved for her to get her All-Ireland medal after having to sit out for a few years.
Every ball.
Don't
get injured.
Kicking every ball. Don't get injured. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, and just to touch on something that Lynn said, which is also important, and the great work that they have been doing to promote, you know, female athletes in this country and supporting them through pregnancy, and that is now it's amazing to see kids going out to watch their mums play. It was always for a long time going out to watch the dads, but now it's amazing that kids are going out, you know, to watch their mums playing. And if we're talking about exposure to young girls and getting them to stay in sport, it's really important that we, as, you know, female athletes, as we get older, and that we still expose them to this and to get out and play, whether it's just, you know, a club level or training, like Lynn saying, bringing them out to games and that kind of stuff is so important. for the young girls growing up, and hopefully that'll have a really positive knock-on effect to keeping them in sport as they grow.
Fiona Opperman, Siobhan McGrath, Lynn Cantwell, we're nearly at the end of this panel chat about pregnancy and exercising during it and post and getting back into playing competitive sport or just even sport if you're not involved in the competitive level, and also motherhood. And look, we really appreciate your wisdom, and thank you for taking me along the hour as well. I suppose to finish, what's, Lynn, the best part of being a mum?
The night time when, well, I don't mean to say this in jest, that when they're asleep, obviously it's lovely that when they're asleep I can get something done, but I find myself just looking at, you go into the room and they're just conked out and they're safe and they've had a great day and we're all together. I love those couple of minutes before you go to bed. Yeah, I think that's quite special.
Great stuff, Lynn. And yourself, what's the best bit, Siobhan?
I think... She's made me a very softer person. I just melt when I see her. Do you know the kind of way? She's changed my outlook in life, basically. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And yourself, Fiona?
Yeah, I think look the same as the girls. The love and that is amazing. And actually just watching them grow into their own little people is incredible. And seeing their little personalities come out and I suppose it's a lovely thing, and we're blessed. Like we're blessed to have healthy, happy kids. And just to anyone out there, especially at the start, and it's so difficult, and there's so much information out there. Is that just enjoy it, just get along for the ride, and enjoy it. You're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes, but it's not perfect. It won't be perfect, and just go with it.
Fiona, Siobhan, Lynn, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Enjoy the rest of your bank holiday weekend. This is Off the Ball Saturday News Talk. We've got to take a break. We're going to look at the GAA Club Finals after this.
This bank holiday weekend, Off the Ball is...